Hi, everybody. I'm Lee, compulsive overeater. Ziva, thank you so much for inviting me to share. I'm so grateful to be able to share with all you beautiful beings. And I just want to extend thanks to all of those who have served in today's meeting as well. A little bit about me, my backstory. My OA journey actually began back in 2021, but my disordered food journey began back in childhood. I realized I always had food issues since early childhood, memories of stealing food from home, stores, friends, and babysitting jobs. I became bulimic back in high school and had body dysmorphia. To this day, I'll pull out pictures of myself back then, and I remember how I felt back then. I remember what I thought I looked like and seeing, who I actually was. Years later, looking through a different lens, it just my heart just really goes out to that young one that suffered under that body dysmorphia at that time. In my early 20s, I stopped bulimia through fear and willpower. And then I started what I like to call the diet spin cycle. Go on a diet, lose weight, go off the diet, gain weight, gain more weight, and then repeat for the next few decades. Around 2019, I went on what I call my last diet. I was on a program that had, packaged items that you ate, and I was succeeding on it. Everything was great, and I was losing weight. And all of a sudden, one day, I had this literally like this lightning bolt of awareness go through my body, and just this awareness of that it's not about the food, like it was something else. And I just knew it was like it was something more, and it just really hit me, just this awareness that was it for me. It was not about the food, but I sat in this time of I was paralyzed. I was not able to do anything about it. Like my ego was not would not allow the idea of me to go into counseling or to seek a recovery or anything like that. And I would just that was just the season where I was just sitting in embarrassment. I was mired in guilt and shame. But I was really frustrated because I couldn't figure out whatever this was. And I knew about OA, but I did not identify as being a compulsive overeater. And so I just completely dismissed it as an option. In early 2021, the compulsive behaviors really took hold. The first one being mental obsession. It was, I would wake up in the morning and I was just like, what am I going to eat? Where am I going to go? And I just was had to plan my day around food. Where was I going to get whatever this food was that I had on my mind today that I wanted to get? And so I would start like running errands to go out to figure out, to be able to get that alcoholic food that I wanted at that time. I started getting deceptive with my finances. I would start putting it under like something else, so my husband wouldn't question where the finances were going. And I would run the boys through, certain restaurants and then tell them not to tell their dad. So I got really deceptive and dishonest at that time. I started hiding food in the car, the garage, the closet. And then I got to this point where the only time that I was comfortable was when I was uncomfortably full. So I had to absolutely be stuffed to the gills in order to feel a sense of comfort. Once I started to digest my food enough to get down to a point where I was not uncomfortably full, I had to eat again to get into the state of discomfort. And I was starting to find a pattern where I was actually, my husband would make us these wonderful meals at night, and I would go out and I would eat a full meal to come home to eat another meal again. And I was uncomfortably full to eat the second meal, but it was like I had to go out, I had to eat, I had to get uncomfortably full to come home to not enjoy this wonderful meal that was set before me. During this time, my weight was obviously shooting up. I gained a lot of weight in a short amount of time. It was like 22, 25 pounds within like a 12-week period. And my gait shifted. I was feeling uncomfortable in my skin. Like it felt like I just, I was just like bursting out of my skin. I did not who recognize who I was in this, and I got really scared. But still, I didn't know what to do. Anyway, I was talking to a friend one day. We were touching base. We were run buddies from a while back, and we were just touching base on the phone, and I was like, how are things going? Kind of catching up. And she shared with me, she's like, I don't know what's going on, Lee, but she goes, I cannot stay out of the pantry. She's like, I work from home and I am just constantly, going in there. And her honesty with me and sharing her own struggles opened up this opportunity for me to actually share my struggles. And so we decided to become accountability partners together. And we decided we would like submit our food to each other and we would work out together. One of the things that she mentioned was that she had started listening to the OALA podcast and that she was getting a lot of a benefit from that. And so we're like, okay, yeah, we can do that, but we're not joining OA. Like we were like, we didn't want to do that, but we wanted to listen to the OALA podcast because that would be one thing. Looking back in my mind, that's like still trying to control it on my own terms. The self will run riot. It's like, well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. And instead of seeing the program for us all, it's like, oh, let's just pick and choose. And literally, that's reflective of even to this day, as a part of my recovery, instead of just the full surrender, like, just do it. I'm still, it's taking the longer journey of the dismantling of my ego to get to the point where I can accept where I got to accept certain things. Anyway, curiosity got the better of me. We were a few weeks into our doing our own little thing, and curiosity got to the better of me. And I decided to sit in on a meeting because at this time, there were a lot of meetings on Zoom. I still don't know if I would have been able to make it into OA had I had to actually show up in a thing. So I'm just very grateful that these Zoom meetings exist. Anyway, I was sitting in a meeting there and I'm listening to everybody tell my story. And I just was sitting there in shock. And all of a sudden, I just felt puzzle pieces starting to come together in my brain. And I'm sitting there in shock. And there's this one memory that I have where during that meeting, I recalled this time in the movie, Harry Met Sally movie, when Harry declares love, his love for Sally. And he says to her, I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And my brain processed it as, I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life free from the bondage of compulsive overeating, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. So from that meeting, I took a deep dive into OA. I started attending 2 to 3 meetings a day. I got a sponsor who walked the steps with me through the big book primarily, peppered with some other readings, recordings, video, and writing assignments. She encouraged that I do a 30 and 30, attend 30 meetings in 30 days. I ended up doing the 90 meetings in 90 days because the meetings had become my lifeline at this time. I could physically feel the compulsive energy transferring over from food to pursuing recovery in OA, and I was totally okay with that. Early on in the program, I had a lot of anxiety over the anticipation of certain steps. I was afraid of not doing it right. I was afraid of releasing the emotional kraken and what that would look like. And my sponsor was so sweet. She's like, just stay in your lane, stay in your step. Like, if you're in step one, that's what you focus on. If you're in step eight, that's what you focus on. And I came to realize that each step equips you to move on to the next step. So if I'm in step two, I'm not equipped to look at the concepts of steps 8 and 9, et cetera. I focus on step two, but then that prepares me to be ready for step three. And so I was just very grateful for that in the meetings as I'm like, oh, this is getting to be too much. It's like, stay in your lane, focus on the step that you're in. And OA will lead you to the next step. So I think the rest of my time I'll take, I'm going to talk about our principles in OA. So in OA, we learned that our recovery comes to us through the principles in the program, not through personalities. So we talk about we've got our 12 steps, we've got our 12 traditions, and we also have the 12 principles of OA. Principle one is the principle of honesty. So I learned that truth is always the same, but honesty changes with my awareness. In this disease, I lied to myself and I lied to others. I also learned about the difference between wishful fantasy thinking versus honesty thinking, and where is my focus in that? The principle of hope. when I'm in these meetings, I hear my own story over and over again, and I realize that I am not alone. I see those who are recovered or recovering, and I have hope. The principle of faith. So early on in this program, I had to put my faith in others when they said, keep coming back. It works if you work it and you are worth it, and to trust the program. I had no faith in myself. I thought I had faith in my higher power, but my actions said otherwise. Working steps 2 and 3, I had to take my faith down to the studs of what I knew and what I thought I knew about my higher power. Two things I felt for absolute certainty was that there is a God and that I am not it. The next principle, courage. Before the program, security and comfort were my idols. I would do whatever it took to avoid conflict, to avoid feeling my feelings, both the positive and the negative. And that meant stuffing it with food and binge watching TV, social media, and game apps. Fear is what brought me into OA, but courage and hope are what kept me coming back. The principle of integrity. Coming into program, I became aware of how much of a people pleaser I was and how much daily stress I suffered under in trying to live out everyone's expectations, desires, beliefs, and opinions of me. I was an emotional chameleon. This is a pattern that I still struggle with, and I have to be diligent about working on as it comes back easily if I'm not working the steps and using the tools of recovery. Through the 12 steps, I've come to learn the core values that I choose to embrace and defend as my own, to be a person of my word, and for myself and others to trust that word. The principle of willingness. To be willing to give up my old toxic beliefs that I held on as true. To be willing to put down the food and pick up the steps. To pray for willingness to work the steps, even though I was afraid and confused. To be willing to trust my higher power and the OA program to take me from bondage to freedom, a freedom that not only positively affects my food, but all other aspects of my life as well. The principle of humility. I learned that humility is not humiliation. Humiliation reenacts shame from the past that shaped our childhood. Humility is being right-sized. My ego is not too big or too small. Upon awakening, I realize that I am every day an untreated, compulsive overeater, and I must pick up the tools and use them within the 12 steps for today. The principle of self-discipline. In the big book, page 88, it says, it works, it really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. The discipline of using the daily tools to regularly review where I am weak and where I am strong and to adjust accordingly as I become more aware and ready to go deeper in recovery. To regularly assess character deficits and do the work to surrender them to my higher power so they can be transformed to character assets. The principle of love. Emotional growth often begins the moment we walk in the OA door. We come to learn to trust and receive love from our higher power. We come to learn to accept and love others without strings or expectations. Perseverance, not giving up, staying with it, doing something despite difficulty or delay. This program is simple, but it's not easy. Suffering under compulsive overeating is hard. Working the 12 steps is hard. I need to pick my hard. And for today, I'm picking the 12 steps. Spiritual awareness. I learned I cannot control my surrender process. I can only be willing to show up and do the step work according to my awareness I have at this time. This is why this is a lifelong journey and not a diet. As my spiritual awareness increases, the gifts of recovery increase, which then lead to more spiritual awareness, which then leads to more gifts and blessings of recovery. I am grateful that I am not the person I was last year, and I am hopeful I will not be the same person I am this time next year. Service. I had absolutely nothing to offer coming into this program in terms of service.
Gentle reminder, 5 minutes left.
Thank you, Rachel. After a while, my service was turning on the video on videos so that others could see me in a meeting. Then I would volunteer to read our service timekeeper. Then I would occasionally share my small amount of encouragement, strength, and hope that I was coming, experience, strength, and hope that I was coming to discover. Then I would occasionally reach out by text to a newcomer and tell them to keep coming. What initially to me was an overwhelming burden, service has become the greatest gift by sponsoring others, making outreach calls, and offering support in daily meetings. Working the 12 steps filled my depleted cup, and I now serve in the overflow as my higher power sees fit, and for this I am eternally grateful. So I will leave you guys with this. So I mentioned I awake every morning an unrecovered compulsive overeater. I must choose one of two paths, recovery or disease. And for today, I choose recovery. Thank you all. I pass.